I always think of real estate as a family because I've been in the, I like to call it the service industry, in different facets, mm-hmm. between corrections. I was a volunteer medic for mm-hmm. West Glens Falls EMS for 25 years as mm-hmm. a life member. I think everything carries through on a family basis, and mm-hmm. real estate's a family with everybody. We always look together to do something to get the better outcome.
They say it's lonely at the top, but it doesn't have to be. I've spent the last 8 years embedded in our local business landscape, and I've learned one thing. Facts only tell half the story. I'm Ann Donnelly. Join me for an intimate look at the minds of the innovators and leaders shaping our region. We aren't just talking business, we're talking legacy. From the North Country Media Network, upstate New York's voices of authority, this is Building Success Stories, and it's time to start building yours.
So today on Building Success Stories, I'm here with Scott Cross of Cross Point Realty, now based in Moreau Commons in Moreau in upstate New York. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
And thanks for hosting us here in your beautiful new offices.
Absolutely. It's great to have you.
So when did you get into realty? Is it something you started out of school, or is it something you got into along the way?
I wish I got into it right out of school. If I would listen to my grandmother, mm-hmm. I would have gotten into real estate initially.
Your grandmother?
My grandmother. Yeah.
That's a smart woman.
Yes. Back when I was probably 18, 19, she said, you know, you should get into real estate. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if it's for me. She's like, I'll even pay for your real estate course. And wow. Back then, obviously, real estate courses were a lot more than they were, mm-hmm. you know, and you had to spend some time in person and stuff like that. And I was just like, nah, you know, and then I flipped the script and I went right into the Army.
You went to the Army?
I went in the Army, you know.
So you got to start in the Army.
Yeah.
How long were you in?
Just under 3 years.
Okay. So you did your tour.
I did time. I ended up crushing my right ankle.
Oh, no.
And ended up with getting out a little early from the military. Mm-hmm. And then I started a career in New York State.
So you worked for the state?
I did. I was a New York State corrections officer.
Oh, okay. You were a corrections officer.
And worked my way up. And that just goes to show you that there's life after the first career.
There is. The next chapter. But so how long were you a CEO?
So I retired in 2020.
Okay.
And in 2017, I started to think, what am I going to do after I retire?
So you started thinking ahead.
Yeah. So I got my real estate license in 2017. I had purchased my first house in 2001, sold in 2015, and then bought a new house in 2015, all using the same realtor. And she kept saying to me, you'd be great in real estate. You'd be great in real estate. So after 2015, when I bought and sold, I decided to start taking the course, and I completed it in 2017 and joined Berkshire Hathaway mm-hmm. In the Queensbury office and worked part-time from 2017 to 2020. It was a great, great experience, great office. They offered a lot. Mm-hmm. And in 2020, they asked me if I wanted to manage the office when I retired. Not that I wanted to get into management, you know, but it was an opportunity, and it was a great office, great people. So I chose to manage. Mm-hmm. So I managed the Queensbury and the Lake George offices for Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Blake Realtors, for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then decided to take on a little bit more. The manager of the Saratoga office was retiring. Oh, okay. So I took on the Saratoga office as well. So I had 58 agents that I managed. And it was, you know, getting towards the end of last year, and my contract was expiring with them. And I decided to myself, I want to try this on my own. Mm-hmm. I want to mm-hmm. build my own legacy.
That sounds exciting. So tell me what goes into managing somebody else's agency?
You have to obviously pay attention to everything that happens in the real estate realm.
So every agent, you're
you not only pay attention to their transactions and what they have going on for, mm-hmm. for deals and situations, but you also have to know like their personal life, mm-hmm. because you have to know where they are, you know, what they're doing, how they're just things that are happening in their mm-hmm. life, because you can't rule an independent contractor with an iron fist. You have to, there has to be finesse, you know, you have to pay attention to them in several mm-hmm. different levels.
And as part of that, trying to develop them and to be better agents.
You bring them in all the time.
Yeah.
We have weekly meetings. Mm-hmm. You do a couple of monthly trainings. Mm-hmm. There's always coaching. There's always mentoring. One-on-one sessions where you're just trying to find out where they need to be strengthened, paying attention to the paperwork that changes, the new laws that change, mm-hmm. just making sure that they're on top of it.
Yeah. So how many agents did you have once you got all the three offices?
I had 58.
58 agents.
Yeah. I had 32 with the Saratoga office, and I had 26 with the Lake George and Queensbury office. Mm-hmm. So.
And real estate is like a 7-day operation.
7 days, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Yeah, I was going to say 24/7, but it's not really 24, but.
No, they did allow me to sleep a little bit.
Good.
No, it was good.
Sleep, right?
It's good.
So then the change over then into having your own agency, what was your kind of thinking behind that?
I really missed the connection, because I know a lot of people in the town of Queensbury.
So you weren't going out selling houses.
I was not.
Managing.
I did work with like friends and family, but I never marketed myself. Mm-hmm. So I always promoted the company, you know, and tried to push the other agents to market themselves, because it was important as an independent contractor to market yourself. Mm-hmm. So I never did that. And I missed that part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I missed the connection. I missed really working with everybody to, so it was kind of the next plan, mm-hmm. you know, start my own brokerage, get back out there in the selling, get back out there engaging with everybody. And it's working out well.
Mm-hmm. So did you start out with just you?
I started out with myself transitioning in January, and then there was a slow trickle of agents coming in. Mm-hmm. I'm up to 5 agents. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple in real estate classes right now, mm-hmm. and I've got a couple more talks with other agents that mm-hmm. hopefully will be over 10 by the end of the summer.
I've seen a few agents moving around recently. Why do you think that would be? Or am I just noticing? Does that always happen?
It always happens. A lot of the time it happens around the first of the year, because they kind of think, you know, I got to pay my real estate dues again. And, you know, between the association mm-hmm. and the MLS dues mm-hmm. and, you know, certain opportunities come up and prospecting happens and, you know, they do. They have better opportunities, you know, they mm-hmm. more programs, more apps, more, mm-hmm. you know, accountability.
Yeah.
It all plays into effect.
So is that what an agent looks for in a firm? Like in an agency, like somebody that's got more tools for me or somewhere where I can grow more? Like how would they assess that?
I think it's really an individual approach mm-hmm. because you have some veteran real estate agents that don't need the weekly meeting with that manager or that broker. Mm-hmm. They know what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. They know how they're supposed to go about getting their business. But then you have the newer agent that is 5 years or less, and they do. It takes a little while to build mm-hmm. that business. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the norm is 7 to 10 years to get to that point where people remember you as their real estate agent, mm-hmm. you know, and where you don't have to market and keep that, you know, ads or promotion in front of people, where when somebody says, hey, I need to sell my house, it comes naturally for somebody to say, I've got a real estate person for you. I've got a guy or I've got a girl, you know, and we have almost 400 real estate agents in this area through Southern Adirondack Realtors.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And, you know, it's like a family. Mm-hmm. Really, it is. I know half to three quarters of them. Mm-hmm. And you work on transactions with them. And
because
it's
there's
great.
At least two sides to every transaction.
Correct.
Right. So correct. You've got at least two realtors and at least, right?
Yes.
So what makes a good agent?
Somebody that has drive.
Mm-hmm.
A little
because you got to be self-motivated. Like you have your manager or your owner, but.
But you're an independent contractor.
Yeah.
So you really have to have your own drive, your own motivation. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to work on your own and not think the business will come to me,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're starting out. You have to be able to go after it. You have to market. You have to advertise. You have to promote yourself and the brand that you work for.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a huge following, a good family, a good friend base, you can start your business up a little bit faster because you always work with the people that you know, love,
yeah.
and trust,
mm-hmm.
you know? But if you're coming to the area and you don't know anybody, it's a little harder to get going.
I'd say it'd be very hard.
Because you're going against a lot of agents in this mm-hmm. area for every listing.
You went to school with these people. You're related to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I find that in my business as well. Like I'm only been here 8 years, so.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's not something that can't be done. You know, I have agents all the time that I've worked with that do make a good business and they're not from the area.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little while though.
Mm-hmm. So they've got to have good people skills. How much of it is about understanding the market?
The market can be taught to anybody.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to work in an area, you should know everything about that area.
Mm-hmm.
You should know all the amenities of the area. You should know the tax bases. You should know, you know, who the builder is in some of the neighborhoods that happens.
Mm-hmm. Zoning and things like that.
Yeah. Where your commercial districts are, what you can do inside this neighborhood. There's mm-hmm. a lot of HOA properties in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting a good grasp on some of the things that are involved in the HOAs and what you can and cannot do.
Yeah, because people need to know that going in. That kind of scared me off going into any of those types of properties. As much as I didn't want maintenance, I didn't want somebody telling me you can't have that sitting in front of your house or.
You know, and truthfully, we have a lot of lakes in this area too.
Yeah.
So Lake George, Glen Lake, Scroon Lake, you know. And every one of them is different.
They have different kind of requirements.
Different requirements, yeah. Different depths, the length. You know, somebody's going to buy on the lake or sell on the lake. They want to know that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So everybody that I've always talked to is if you're going to work in an area, you should know that area.
So the benefit for you having been a manager, you've had exposure to all of those deals. Not just the ones that you would have done as an agent. Like, so you've seen a lot of different types of transactions.
Yes. Yeah. I've done everything as far as walking in with an agent on a condo, a co-op, mm-hmm. a townhome, you know, especially dealing with the Saratoga market.
Yeah.
Some of the high-end properties mm-hmm. down there. Then you get Lake George and, you know, I've seen everything.
Do you have a specialization here with your own firm now?
We're a resi-mercial, so residential and commercial brokerage.
Resi-mercial?
Resi-mercial.
Resi-mercial. A new word.
We're doing a little bit of commercial, but the majority of it is residential.
Mm-hmm.
We try to steer away from rentals just because they're just a lot of work in the area. When you put a rental on, you're getting a lot of phone mm-hmm. calls and, you know, it's single family homes and you know, multifamilies is where we're kind of focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I have five other agents that work for the office here and every one of them is busy
mm-hmm.
promoting themselves. And
that's good. They're not here today.
They must be
out there selling.
They are definitely out there doing it.
So you are now covering similar territory than you, as you were before, Saratoga up to Lake George or?
It's, yeah. So I mean, Clifton Park would probably be As far as I'd want to go south. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would go because truthfully, Sunday I was in Syracuse showing properties.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I was. Put an offer in on a property in Syracuse. You're a New York State real estate salesperson. So you can go anywhere as long as you can work and work alongside the other person on the other side of the transaction. Mm-hmm. So I've never had any problem with that.
Yeah.
But Clifton Park is where I would say I'm not going to market down past that.
Yeah.
I do have an agent that covers into Johnstown, Gloversville.
Oh, okay.
I do have agents that will go all the way up to Crown Point. Mm-hmm. So we'll cover all the way up into Crown Point.
Good territory.
We go into Washington County pretty good, over to Cambridge. Okay. So our service area is pretty large.
Yeah.
But you have an agent that lives over this area. You have an agent that lives over this area. So you can cover
is based on what agents you have.
Yes.
The territories they would know and can cover.
Yep.
Because you got to go out there and you got to.
Yep.
You don't spend all your time on the road.
I try not to.
Right. So what have been the challenges starting up your own agency?
I would say marketing.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't have the big brand behind you.
Right. You know, I said it in my ribbon cutting last week, Rome wasn't built in a day and Cross Point Realty was not built in a day either.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time for you to plan everything.
Yeah.
I worked out of my home for the first four and a half months before I even started the process of looking for a brick and mortar, a spot to call my own.
But you felt you needed a brick and mortar?
I did, because I wanted to grow a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be honest, not every agent wants to show up at my house and have a meeting around the kitchen table.
No.
So,
you got the coffee right there. And
it is, but when you're trying to
You got to keep it clean. I work from home.
I did it. And, you know, the home office was getting a little congested with everything that was going on. And I just needed more space. So,
And if you have an HOA, that could be a problem.
Right, right. Because then, So it worked. Having a meeting, having a conversation with the agents, and this is where we ended up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that it's not just me, it's about everybody that works for the company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody that's party to it needs to have some kind of a voice to make it grow.
Yeah. And you've got a great space here, like, because you have plenty of room.
Yeah. When I started looking at this, it was back in January.
Mm-hmm.
It was just steel walls and it was all open. And I looked at it and I thought about it. And I looked at the other spot down where 80K Tech is.
Yeah.
Because they weren't in there yet either.
Mm-hmm.
And I mulled it over as I was, you know, sitting there having a coffee from Stinky's. And I waited a couple months and watched it grow, watched 80K Tech come in.
Mm-hmm.
The building, I mean, Brian McKenzie and his partner did an amazing job with this building. And it really has a great draw.
Yeah.
You know, location, the parking.
Yeah.
And all the tenants here, everybody's welcoming.
It's a good range of businesses in here now.
Yeah.
So it's
working
hub.
Out well.
It's a good hub for the area.
And I think that's another draw that was for me was it is a good hub, because where I'm located, I can take 197 over into Washington County and go left or right off of 197 and go to Fort Inn or go to Cambridge. And so that's a good, I can go back to the city by taking a left, or I can just go up and hit the Northway and I can go north or south there within a couple of minutes. So it really is a hub for me.
That's a good spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a couple of miles. Is it a mile even off of exit 17? Is it a full mile?
Yeah, I think it's right around there. It takes me like two and a half minutes with traffic lights and everything to get to the north.
And there's going to be a lot of development up this corridor. It's come up a lot in a lot of my episodes because I've done a lot of people from here, but just also Glens Falls type businesses seeing that, you know, and I love seeing that there's going to be good development in the area where I live.
Yeah.
Coming up this way.
I look at this area, the Moreau, the exit 17 is a pinch point. because Saratoga has a hard time growing now. They have to grow out. So that's coming into Wilton. Wilton's going to come into South Glens Falls, into the Exus 17.
Yeah.
City of Glens Falls. They have nowhere else to go.
Right.
So they're coming across the bridge now into South Glens Falls. So we're just going to be a pinch point.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to, it's just going to get much better.
Right. So how are you finding the property market right now? Like, from my understanding, it's low inventory, high interest rates. Those are the two kind of things that I'm, my limited knowledge is. How do you see it right now?
It is. It's a tight market. I wouldn't say, you know, it's an impossible market.
Mm-hmm.
People are still buying. People are still selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always those topics that, you know, change people's minds on what they need for a house,
mm-hmm.
whether it's downsizing, upsizing, just moving totally. I think it's a market where you have to find it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, I don't think it's an over asking, you know, where we were back during
mm-hmm.
the COVID times.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are more reasonable and respective of their money,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, not going crazy.
Yeah.
But I think if you price something appropriately
mm-hmm.
and you market it how it's supposed to be marketed, it's a good market.
Yeah. And what about, do you see any trends coming up?
No.
Nothing foreseeable?
You know,
I guess it's kind of keeping an eye on interest rates and.
Yeah, they're saying interest rates are going to drop within, you know, the next year,
maybe
quarter or 0.5%. And I don't know. I've always been told and always listened to a lot of mortgage people. And, you know, the saying is you don't marry the mortgage rate,
mm-hmm.
you marry the house.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always refinance as things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you always want to search around for that house, or do you want to just get the one you want?
Yeah.
You know, and then figure the rest out.
So. Yeah. Because it's a long-term commitment.
It is. It is.
And like you said, you could refinance down the line once things get better.
Yeah. You know, you can always go after the ARM and go into a 5-year, 7-year ARM and then refinance when the rates come down.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a lot of different options,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I'm not a mortgage person.
Mm-hmm.
I have mm-hmm. a person for that, you know, that we use.
Yeah.
But I try to listen to all the economists and mm-hmm. pay attention to what's going on.
And you still probably don't know what's going on, though.
You know, I go to a lot of conventions. Mm-hmm. I am, so for 2025 and revoted in for 2026, I'm the president of the Southern Adirondack Realtors Association.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 440 members
mm-hmm.
Between primary, secondary, and affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
And I, again, try to stay up on as much information as possible for that
mm-hmm.
because they're always looking for information.
Yeah. So what does that association do for the members? Besides, like you said, providing information?
We're the association that handles their board.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to belong to an association or a board in order to be a real estate agent.
Oh, okay.
And then you have to belong to an MLS. So
mm-hmm.
we have Global MLS that we're a member there.
Mm-hmm.
But we are huge on property advocacy, you know, whether it's working with some of the town officials or, you know, just getting out there to be present and helping anybody we can in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of events to, whether it's soup kitchen or, you know, we're always trying to advocate for people, and we are definitely within town meetings and,
mm-hmm.
you know, part of that conversation for.
So was some of it kind of, what's the word? Advocating for the real estate industry at these meetings?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. We're down talking to the senators, the assemblymen,
mm-hmm.
you know, just
you're
going
to kill us if you pass that bill.
Yeah. I don't know if we go that far, but, you know, we definitely let them know things that we don't want to
mm-hmm.
see and things that we do.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. That's very interesting. So what do you think someone that's looking to sell their home, what are the factors they should look at when deciding who they should list it with?
I think everybody's trained the same. I think somebody that you can work with, somebody that you can communicate with. Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the companies do a lot of the same marketing. If you go in and say, what can you do for me? There's a lot of people do the same stuff. Mm-hmm. It's finding that thing that somebody else doesn't do, that different approach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're focused on that. We're focused on how we can figure out a different way to get your property sold.
Yeah. Especially if the market is a little tight, you start looking at what else can I do?
Yeah.
How can I do this better?
Yeah, I think one of the big things is working with a company that's seen that, we're not just going to show up and put a sign in your front yard and, wait for somebody to show up. We go out and we try and find that person, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And to that effect, we also do the same for buyers. If we have a buyer that's, wanting to buy in a certain area, we don't wait for somebody to put the house on the market. We send letters. We're on top of it. We're talking, we're trying to find that home for them before that house gets put on the market.
Yeah. Oh, tell me a little bit about the agents that you have here.
So the agents that I have here range from 21 years in the industry to 2 years in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are part-time. But I would say three of them are part-time, full-time.
Mm-hmm.
They have other jobs, but they spend just as much time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think of, and we did this study last year with agents that called themselves full-time agents.
Mm-hmm.
And, write down for the first 2 weeks of that we're starting this, how much time you actually spend in real estate as a full-time agent. And, some of the things we were getting back were 14, 20, 24 hours a week. And we're like, okay, that's full-time. I have part-time agents that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're full-time agents with a full-time job,
because
they do the same time frame. And I think that they really just need to have that tenacity, that drive and motivation to do it.
Yeah.
But I have one associate broker, a part-time associate broker.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I have, they're all part-time.
Mm-hmm.
They're all part-time.
What's the difference between a broker and an agent?
A broker, you have to have a certain amount of time in, so they just moved that to 5 years within the state.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a certain amount of transactions, a certain amount of certain things to get you points to get you to that within a 2 year period.
Mm-hmm.
They just want somebody that's got some experience and knowledge to be the broker. And you can be an associate broker within a company, which you're the same as the broker level. You're just working underneath the broker with not the responsibility. Yes.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
And what does a broker do?
As a broker owner, I hold the license for the office and then everybody else works under my license.
Mm-hmm.
So I take the liability for the agents that are in the office.
Go wrong on a deal.
Everything falls back on the broker.
Yeah.
So
you got all the responsibility.
That's why I pay attention to every transaction, everything that's going on, communicate with the agents that are out there working, making sure that they're on the up and up and everything that we do is solid.
So with your own agency here, you're kind of the best of both worlds because you were saying you were missing the being hands-on with buyers and sellers, but you're also managing. So
managing a much smaller amount.
Yeah, a smaller.
And
it's your group.
Yeah. And they know
what
I expect. They know what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they know, when it's time to to call me and say, hey, this is, you know, mm-hmm. so it is the best of both worlds mm-hmm. because they're all, again, I always think of real estate as a family because I've been in the, I like to call it the service industry in different facets mm-hmm. between corrections. I was a volunteer medic for mm-hmm. West Glens Falls EMS for 25 years as mm-hmm. a life member. I think everything carries through on a family basis and mm-hmm. real estate's a family with everybody. We always look together to do something to get the better outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that was a question I was going to ask. Like, what did you find that you learned in the military or as a corrections officer that you then brought into real estate?
It's the family. It's the, you know, group approach. It's the family mm-hmm. approach because in the military, we always looked out for our own, you know, protect yeah. everybody, mm-hmm. you know, do things together. EMS, back when I started in EMS in 1992, we used to do family dinners on Sundays. When we were covering duty, you'd get together for family dinners at night with your crew. Could be four or five different families we'd get together for dinner. Mm-hmm. Corrections, when I transitioned from the military into corrections, again, the correction officers are the ones that are coaching their kids at Little League, doing this, doing that. They're the volunteer firemen, the volunteer EMS. They're people that are in the community working their side jobs, doing contracting, tile work, you know, landscaping, mm-hmm. all these other things. And then to retire from corrections and get into real estate, everybody else does the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, real estate agents, we're always helping
yeah.
the community. So
service
yeah.
is the key to it.
And it holds true. Whenever I meet another real estate agent, they're always like, oh, hey, I also do this. I sit on this club. Mm-hmm. I'm part of this committee.
Yeah.
You know, they always find time for other things.
It's a common theme with a lot of the interviews I've done is that people are very community minded and it benefits their business, but that's not the main reason for being of service to the community, but it does benefit them in their business because you're meeting people and people sure. get to know what you're really like, which is important.
Yeah.
To build trust and to differentiate you between the next person.
Yeah. You could talk to 100 different real estate agents and in this area and everybody's going to tell you, oh, I do this. Oh, I'm a Rotarian. Oh, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. they're very community based.
Yeah. And you don't think it's just this area. It's just in business. It's important.
No, I have traveled the United States and met with real estate agents mm-hmm. from Texas to Tennessee to California to Alaska mm-hmm. With some of the big conventions, the National Association of Realtors Convention. Mm-hmm. Everybody has, you listen to some of the neighborhood awards, the, mm-hmm. the people that actually, they're building schools yeah. and, you know, places for kids to go and mm-hmm. there is really some impressive real estate agents that are out there putting forth effort into their communities.
Yeah.
So I think it just continues to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
I listen to, again, a lot of different podcasts mm-hmm.
yeah,
and different things.
Yeah, tell us about some of those.
But one of the guys I like to follow is mm-hmm. Tom Ferry, mm-hmm. Mike Ferry, mm-hmm. Brian Buffini. Mm-hmm. So I think If you listen to different podcasts and different mm-hmm. things, I listen to Real Estate Uncensored. There's a lot of different mm-hmm. ones out there with different mm-hmm. views. But if you take some of one and then like Brian Buffini, if you take his empathy and his trainings and you kind of meld them together mm-hmm. to make your own, you can find a very good happy medium.
Yeah.
And something that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hop in the car and you put a podcast on, it just energizes you mm-hmm. to get to the next.
Yes, we love podcasts.
Yes.
We need more people listening to podcasts in the North Country.
Yeah. They're great.
Yeah, see?
I think you'd find that a lot more people are turning off the radio and a lot more people are listening to a certain podcast or yeah. this and that. So
yeah. So when do you listen to podcasts?
when I'm...
This is good market research for me.
Yeah. When I'm sitting here working,
okay,
I will put it, and people always say to me, are you on the phone? And I'm like, no, I'm usually got a podcast or something going in my AirPod, listening to something, because I can always get a piece of information from a podcast, whether it's a financing podcast, a real estate one, or just listening to maybe some politician, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's always something that's going to help my business somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's not just Joe Rogan and influencers.
Right.
There's solid business people and good motivation, mindset.
I'm not saying I don't listen to a little bit of Joe Rogan every now and then, or Gary V.
Yeah, I know Gary V. I mean,
there's a lot of good ones there too. But there's sometimes you need the motivation. Sometimes you need the pick me up. You know, sometimes you get lost in what you're doing and you need to refocus. So podcasts are great for that.
Yeah, good, good. And what do you think is a good length for a podcast? Does it matter? It's up to, I debate this with people all the time.
Half hour. 40 minutes, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of them go pretty long and you're like, all right, I've got other things I've got to do.
Go back to it.
Right.
It'll save your space.
Right.
So what platform do you use to listen on?
I listen, it's just podcasts on Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. Yeah. We're on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. It's great. I think everybody should listen to a podcast. Find what you're passionate about and follow a podcast on that.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate jumping on with you.
These conversations often begin as feature articles for the Saratoga and Glens Falls Business Journals. We've partnered with them to turn those printed insights into broadcast quality authority assets, allowing you to hear the person behind the business in their own words. Thank you for listening to Building Success Stories, a production of the North Country Media Network. Our mission is to document the professional legacies and success stories that drive our region forward. To discover more shows in our network, or to learn how we can help you own the conversation in your industry, visit us online at northcountry.media. I'm Ann Donnelly, and until next time, keep building your success story.